you spend £200 million. I'm Sorrel, and I'm back for season two of the insanely lavish Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams podcast, where hilarious guests get their hands on an imaginary £200 million jackpot on Euro Millions from the National Lottery.
I would buy tickets to go and see Backstreet Boys in the Sphere. I'd buy the Sphere? What are we talking about?
The bougier, the better.
Turned into a lunatic with all this money. Europe. Beach.
So get ready for confetti cannons, champagne, giant checks, and some of the most outrageous ways a person could possibly spend a £200 million fortune.
Jacuzzi karaoke.
Jacuzzi
karaoke.
You can get that Euro Millions feeling every Friday by searching for Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams on all podcasting apps, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
With Eon Next, enjoy cheaper overnight charging for your electric vehicle and save while you sleep. Switch to our Next Drive tariff today, then simply plug in for the night and wake up every morning to find your EV charged for less. Switching is a dream too. Find out just how much you could save with our Next Drive tariff at eonnext.com/save. Cheaper rates from 12 a.m. to 7 a.m. compared to our standard variable rates. Smart meter and direct debit payment required. Plus vary based on charging conditions and usage. T's and C's apply.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Friday, Tim. Week's almost over. Beautiful. How are you doing in your bedroom studio? Everything going good? Taking a nap maybe during the show?
It's going fine. Yeah, I'm getting roasted in Slack for being in having the bed behind me on the YouTube video. But like I said, we compromised and this is the solution. And I think anyone that is married or in serious relationships knows exactly what I mean. So I'm fine with it. And the bed is made. It looks clean. And how are you, John? What's going on?
I'm doing good. Yeah, we're just, ticking away the days until we hit that 70 degree mark in Traverse City where it's going to be beautiful. I think this weekend we might hit it, but just trying to get the house done, one step at a time. The painters are almost done. I pulled the trigger. And I have guys finishing my garage and little bonus room above the garage now. Because I was going to do it myself, Tim. I thought, you know what? Save some money. Because the drywall guys are expensive. Because you got to mud, you got to tape, you got to do all kinds of finishes to it. It's just prime. It takes a lot of time and effort. And it's just a dirty job. But I figured I could do it. I didn't want to do it. And so I have these guys doing that now. So that's putting us back a little bit. But when it's all said and done, the garage will be finished. And the bonus room will be finished. So we'll have over, I think we'll have like 4,000 square feet of finished space, which will be very nice. And that's not including the garage, which obviously you can't live in, but
what's going on in the bonus room?
I don't know. I don't know now. So my older daughter wants to make it her room, but it's a huge bonus room. It's like 1,200 square feet. So she's like, this will be my room. I'm like, yeah, okay. We'll see about that. But I think maybe like a little movie theater. I might put what I really like? A shuffleboard, like the one that's on the board where you have the little pucks and the sand and stuff.
Yeah, and you hold it. Yeah,
and you bash your kids' fingers because they hold onto the edge and you're throwing the pucks. I want to get one of those maybe because it's just a big, long room. It's about 12 feet wide, but it's a good 40 feet long. So it's got some size to it. But I don't know. We'll see, Tim. But yeah, that's been going on. I've just been putting lights in and just kind of trying to get this house pulled together. But other than that, just watching hockey, having some fun, enjoying the weather. Yeah. We got poles delivered, electric poles delivered for our outdoor rink. So I'm going to put those in the ground, put some lights up, and we'll have an outdoor rink. So I don't know. Tim's got this email he wants to read. And he prefaced me. He just said, hey, I'm going to read an email. I hope you're okay with it. So I don't know what this is about, but he's all giddy about it. I don't know why.
It's a very nice email, and it's kind of long. It's like two paragraphs, but it's nice. It's from a man named Mike, and this is for you, John. He said, hi, John. I stumbled upon your podcast last summer with the George's LaRocque episode. It was really, really good. I thought about sending a shout out then, but I thought it might be weird. I'm not sure if you remember the Vickers from 14 Manor. I'm the older brother, Mike. I remember babysitting you guys a couple of times. Anyhow, after getting married 18 or so years ago, my wife and I settled down in Grimsby, two kids, both hockey players, a boy and a girl. The part of the story you might find interesting is my son just started playing for the Peach Kings this year. At last night's banquet, he won the Rookie of the Year trophy. Can you remember a certain NHL All-Star turned podcaster that might also be on that trophy? Anyhow, I thought that was pretty cool. P.S. As a tidbit slash bragging right for the show, you might want to share with your listeners that us older kids in the neighborhood all thought of you as the smart kid. We knew you played hockey, but we thought of you as a kid genius or something. We moved away, and when I heard you made the NHL, that was the first thing I thought of. Cheers, Mike.
Oh, look at that. You don't like that, Tim, do you? Kid genius. I'm like Doogie Howser.
Yeah, were you just like a rebel smart kid or what?
I don't know. I don't think so. I remember Mike Vickers, obviously, because I was six manor. And so he was like four houses down, five houses down at 14 manor road. So, yeah, we would play hockey and my older brother probably knew him and stuff. So isn't that nice? Nice little email. And yeah, I played for the Grimsby Peach Kings Rookie of the Year, just like his son. How cool is that?
What age is that? Like 13 something?
Oh, no, it would have been 15 probably. Yeah, 14, 15, because it's junior C. So it's that league was the jungle. Talk about, like, people say the AHL and the East Coast are jungle. Junior C in Canada was legit scary. So I went in there at 15 playing with 20-year-old. So that's where I'm at, where, okay, Dreams of Peach Kings, circle back. We'll just tie a bow on that. Thank you, my former neighbor. I appreciate the letter. We're still waiting on letters about Tim's friends when he was younger. I'm starting to think you weren't well-liked in the Boston area, Tim, because no one's really come forward and said, oh, Tim was such a great kid. Apparently, I'm a genius. I am just a great hockey player. I'm a great friend. I'm a great person. All these people. It's just, I don't know what to tell you, Tim. I don't know what to tell you. But yes, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, okay, now I regret reading the letter and I am at least you didn't let it go to your head and turn it into an attack on me somehow.
I like to say I'm the most humblest guy I know. So it's no, I'm teasing. It's very nice, very sweet of him to take the time to write the email. More people should do that for Tim. I think you deserve it. But anyways, let's get to hockey, because there's obviously the second round's going on. We don't talk about it too much, but there were some big games last night. Consequential games. You don't want to go down 2-0. You want to keep the series tied, if at all possible, especially for the teams that are at home, like the Vegas Golden Knights. You have to hold court. And when you lose the first game to the Edmonton Oilers, it's imperative that you win the second game. And the same goes for the Washington Capitals. We need to win this game. We can't go back on the road being down 2-0. That's a death sentence. So we'll start in the East with the Capitals and the Canes. Very, very interesting game. Big game for the Capitals, Tim. What happened?
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, it was a big game for the Capitals going into that, because you're playing at home and you don't want to be down 2-0 heading back to Carolina, which is a very difficult building to play in and very difficult team to play against. They won 3-1 last night, ended with an empty net goal from Tom Wilson. It was a tightly contested game. And I think actually, I thought the Caps were the better team for most of the game, but the third period, the Canes were bringing it. Logan Thompson made 27 saves, 16 of those, basically 2/3, were in the third period. So they were bringing the heat. Thompson obviously stood up to that challenge. And this is exactly what they brought him to do when they acquired him last summer. Like, this, these are the kinds of games they needed him to do. And they haven't really had that goalie since Holtby, really. So really good for them. But it was kind of a sloppy game for the first couple of periods for the Canes.
Well, the defense, for whatever reason, which once was their calling card, like, okay, we pride ourselves on our defense and making smart plays and taking care of our own end. All Washington wasn't doing anything crazy. They were just dumping the puck in. And my good buddy, who I saw a couple weeks ago, Brent Burns, was having a tough night. Turned the puck over a few times. And he wasn't the only one. Chatfield was turning it over quite a bit. Gostisbehere was turning it over. It's uncharacteristic of the Carolina Hurricanes. And I think that was the huge crux of this game, where they were just sloppy. They weren't good. And it was across the board. And when you're a team, Tim, that prides itself on those details and getting the puck out and you're playing beneath the puck and you're trying to just do things zone by zone, if you can't get out of your own zone, you're done. You're absolutely done. And Carolina is not going to score 4, 5, 6 goals. Maybe once in a while they'll pull up a huge game and score those goals. But when you look at this playoffs, they win 3-2. They win 2-1. They're a very just calculated, defensive-minded team And that doesn't play well when your defense just turned the puck over left, right, center. And that was the case last night. And I don't think Washington played all that great, but they had a little more jam in their game. First game, they were terrible. They were turning the pucks over. But I don't know. Doesn't it feel like this series is just a step behind the other series when you watch it, just from the eye test? Like, you watch the Leafs and Panthers, it's fast, it's passionate. You watch the Oilers and Knights, and it's just like goals and exciting and up and down the ice. The same goes for the Stars and the Winnipeg Jets. It's just like, then you get to this series, and I'm not dogging these two teams, and it might just be a result of the way they play the game. Carolina is, like I said, very defensive minded. The Capitals are a very heavy team. They play north, south, and they like to go, you know, muck it up on the boards. That might be the reason why, but it just looks like they're slow. It looks like they're just two teams that are just kind of plodding along for whatever reason. And I maybe it's just the way the game's played, because it's a Rod Brind'Amour type game, and that's how they need to win. But I don't know. Am I wrong on this, Tim?
No, you're not. I think it's two things. I think one is the whole X factor with the superstars, where like there's not really superstars in either of these teams. And obviously, mm-hmm. Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer of all time, but he's not driving the play like he used to. And so you have like these other games when you watch McDavid and Draisaitl and Marner and Matthews and Eichel and Rantanen and all these other teams. And the same thing's not happening in this series. I think they're two deep teams. They play the game well. Carolina is a crazy puck possession team. Like in game one, like they dominated the puck possession game. And so that's less, you know, big hits, and it's more passes and, you know, east west type of stuff. So I think that's totally fair. And I think it's also the speed of the game too. Just they don't play at the same, you know, high end tempo that some of the other games do. So
yeah, I'm a little shocked, because I thought Washington would be able to outskill them. I thought that's the way the series was going to go, and it hasn't been the case. They've almost, I don't want to say they've dropped down to Carolina's level, but that's the way it seems that it's going. You know, Strome isn't noticeable. Connor McMichael obviously had that breakaway goal, a fluke bounce off Gostisbehere's face. But they've almost just dropped down to Carolina's game plan, where now they're dumping it in. Now they're just playing the bottom. Now they're hoping for a turnover. They're playing very smart defensive hockey. Well, for Pete's sake, their highest goal scorer ever, Alex Ovechkin, Timmy played 14 minutes last night. He didn't play a shift in the last 5-6 minutes of the third period. So if that doesn't tell you that they're just playing it close to the vest, that speaks volumes to me. When he's your captain, and there's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 forwards who got more ice time than Alex Ovechkin, this is a transition for this team. That this is a cultural difference where it's like, hey, we're in it to win it, and we can't go out and try to outscore people because we don't have the horses. So we need to beat people like the Carolina Hurricanes beat people. And I don't know which way this series is going to go anymore, because Carolina played pretty poor. And like you mentioned, they picked it up in the third, but they had 9 shots after the second period. It was awful. Like it was a tough game to watch for the first two periods as a spectator. It wasn't very exciting like the other series are.
Yeah, and I do want to point out Tom Wilson, empty net goal, and you know, he was credited, I think, if it was McMichael or one of the other guys, maybe Beauvillier, was talking about him after the game, saying like he's the heart of the team, he drives the offense, like he's the one that we look to. And it's crazy, because when he scored that goal, I was like, well, what is he doing out there in that situation? Because you wouldn't think big physical guy, not the fastest, doesn't score a ton, would be the guy that you put out there when their net is pulled. But it was obviously the right choice. So it really speaks a lot about how much Carberry trusts him.
He's their rock. He full 2 minutes more than the next highest forward on ice time. So he's their guy. It's not Ovechkin. It's not Strome. It's not Protas or any of these other guys, or Dubois. It's Wilson in all aspects of the game. Like when you need a goal, you put him out there. When you win the puck out of the net, you put him out there. Last minute of the game, up or down a goal, it's Tom Wilson. And he's doing it. Like he is. Every series so far, obviously, it's only been 2 series. The Montreal series, he was a huge, impactful player, laying people out, getting under their skin, causing Montreal to lose focus on the game. And in this series, he's scoring goals. He's playing the body. He's being physical. He's been terrific. And he got a goal and assist last night. He was the main reason why they won. So Tom Wilson, this is his team. When Ovechkin retires at the end of the season, that's your new cap, 100%. Then Ray Ferraro, stupid comment, the longest tenured Capitals player. John Carlson. What are we doing? Come on, figure it out. Anyways, moving on. The other game last night, Vegas Golden Knights desperately, Tim, desperately needed to win this game. You cannot go back to Edmonton down 2-0 to the Edmonton Oilers. Well, they lost. They lost. I did not see this coming. I thought they would at least be 1-1 going back to Edmonton, if not 2-0. Edmonton takes the game. And we'll talk about sloppy goaltending, this, that, and the other. I don't think we've seen Edmonton's best hockey. That's a scary thing. So what did you think from last night's game? Oilers went 5-4 in overtime.
Yeah, 5-4. I don't think we've seen Vegas's best hockey either, obviously, but I think your point is also true, which makes it even more scary if you're the Golden Knights right now. I thought last night's game was awesome. A lot of scoring, a lot of back and forth. I think Olofsson, both of his goals were just awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. There's a couple of awesome goals on both sides. I think Vegas looked like the better team to me for most of the game. But it just, Edmonton's just style is that they only need a few minutes each night of just total dominance, and in some cases, a few plays, and just hanging in there the rest of the game. And that's enough to get them a win. And I don't mean to minimize what they did. I think they were really good last night. Vegas was a little bit better, but there's a couple of plays that killed them. And the one I kind of had circled on my notes here is a Darnell Nurse goal. I think that was an absolute just dagger. A couple bad turnovers. First, they can't get it out of their zone. Kind of goes back the other way. They get a chance again to clear it, and they don't. And then here's Nurse streaking down, and he gets that shot up. And this is like, you're 25 feet out, unobstructed. Like, Aiden Hill has to make that save. This is a guy that doesn't score, and he doesn't even touch it. And so that's really sucks the air out of your tires if you're the Vegas Golden Knights. And it's too bad. I think that changed the whole game, and it made it 3-1 at that point for the Oilers.
Yeah, and that came right after Podkolzin scored to make it 2-1. So it was just, they score in bunches, these Edmonton Oilers. And I think you nailed it. In a 6-minute time frame, it went from a 1-0 Vegas lead to a 3-1 Edmonton lead. And then it was away we go onto the third period. And two of those goals, maybe even three, Jake Walman's goal, I know it was screen. It wasn't that. Like, maybe
a snipe.
It was a very good shot. And my daily Steve Yzerman dig, Walman and Gostisbehere both scored last night, and Yzerman sitting there with his thumb up his behind. But going back to Aiden Hill, you have to make those saves. You have to 100% save the Podkolzin and Nurse shot. You see them both. They're both from the top of the circle. You have to make those saves. And you could tell on the Podkolzin one, he's like, damn it, come on. And then the Nurse one, it was just a bad turnover, but you still have to make that save. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. This game is on him 100%. Aiden Hill played terrible.
I mean, some of the, like, saves, for example, that Logan Thompson made on Roslovic in front of the net. And there's another one where he just kicked a pad out last second. Like, these are other goalies in these series are making these saves. You need Aiden Hill to make that. That's an obvious one.
And then we talk about the other side of the rink, 200 feet down, Calvin Picard. Didn't play terrific, but he made the saves that he needed to make. You know, he did what Stuart Skinner did not do, which is why he has the net. Now, Tim, he's 6-0. He's doesn't have the best numbers in the world. It's not like he's setting the world on fire. His save percentage is still sub 900. His goals against is approaching 3. But boy, oh boy, what a difference just having a little bit of confidence in your goaltender makes. Just a little bit. That's all you need. Just make the saves that you need to make. And he sprinkles in some really strong saves every once in a while, but he's just a solid goaltender, and that's all they need. They did not get that from Jack Campbell. They did not get that from Mike Smith. They weren't getting it from Stuart Skinner. And I'm not saying this will continue, but he's 6-0. Like, I don't think we can just gloss over this anymore. They're playing really good hockey in front of him. It's not like the defense has changed. He's just making the saves that he needs to make. He's not letting in beach balls like Aiden Hill did last night. And the Oilers are playing good hockey in front of him.
Yeah, just don't cost us the game. That's what we say all the time. And that's what he's doing. And that kick save, I think it was on Barbashev. He just, like, he didn't even think he got to it because he's almost looking behind him. It's just a little, like, those moments are so big. They can change the momentum in one way or another. It's huge swings. And like you said, they weren't getting that one extra save in the past. And the fact that they're getting it now, and his stats aren't great, but 6-0 is what matters. He's given him a chance to win, and he's delivering on it. So it's huge.
Yeah. And we going back to the game, we talk about, you know, Edmonton goes up 3-1. Vegas, credit them. They come back and tie it up 3-3 or 4-4, excuse me. And then they push it into overtime. And then Connor McDavid, best player on the earth. I think best player ever to lace up the skates. skill-wise. Let's just say that. He gets the puck in full speed, and he looks up, and he sees poor Jack Eichel, who can't skate backwards that well. You know, not his forte. And Jack Eichel, like we see it in basketball where the guy breaks his ankles and this and that. He has no chance. And I know what Bruce Cassidy's maybe saying to him today. Just trip him. We already killed off a 5-minute major. Our penalty kill was fantastic. They haven't scored a power play goal. You have to trip him because you go down. And if you're envisioning a 2-on-1, who are the two guys you would not want to see on the whole earth coming down on you on a 2-on-1? It's Drysdale and McDavid. Like we've seen them do this a million times. We've seen Connor McDavid find him when there's 4 or 5 guys on the ice trying to prevent this pass, and he has a 2-on-1. It's just not fair. So obviously it ends in the back of the net. Drysdale gets the game winner. Edmonton wins, and away we go. But there's more to this win than just, oh, McDavid and Drysdale get the game winner. This is, I think I'm eating a little crow, Tim. Because coming into the series, I said, they're not deep enough. Their goaltender is suspect. They've proven me wrong every step of the way. When you look at this team and you look at what they've done, especially in the last 2 games, they have 8 goal scorers, Tim, in the last 2 games. 8. They've scored 9 goals. So 8 different guys have scored goals. That's incredible. You know who hasn't scored? I don't think McDavid got a goal in the first game. I know he didn't get one in the second game. So this is a definition of a deep team. And this is exactly what I've been criticizing him for, I think, for 5 years. And it might not last, but for now, looking pretty good. You got Connor Brown, you got Arvidsson, you got Hyman, you got Janmark, you got Bouchard and Nurse. Everybody's scoring. And it's not the high-end guys. So I do have to eat a little crow and say, you know what? I was wrong. These guys are playing solid hockey. The 3rd and 4th lines, they're showing up and they're producing. Puck holes in, for Pete's sake. So my bad. And maybe it will continue, maybe it won't. But right now, everybody who they needed to step up and everybody who they got in the offseason is playing really good. Evander Kane's playing like he didn't miss a beat. Guy set out the whole regular season. So I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. Edmonton's playing fantastic. And they're not even doing this. And what I mentioned at the start of the segment, I'm sorry, Tim, I know you want to jump in, but...
You spend £200 million. I'm Sorrel, and I'm back for season 2 of the insanely lavish Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams podcast, where hilarious guests get their hands on an imaginary £200 million jackpot on Euro Millions from the National Lottery.
I would buy tickets to go and see Backstreet Boys in the Sphere. I'd buy the Sphere. What are we talking about?
The bougier, the better.
Turned into a lunatic with all this money. I'm trying to buy Europe. Beach.
So get ready for confetti cannons, champagne, giant checks, and some of the most outrageous ways a person could possibly spend a £200 million fortune.
Jacuzzi karaoke.
Jacuzzi
karaoke.
You can get that Euro Millions feeling every Friday by searching for Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams on all podcasting apps, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
With Eon Next, enjoy cheaper overnight charging for your electric vehicle and save while you sleep. Switch to our Next Drive tariff today. Then simply plug in for the night and wake up every morning to find your EV charged for less. Switching is a dream too. Find out just how much you could save with our Next Drive tariff at eonnext.com/save. Cheaper rates from 12 a.m. to 7 a.m. compared to our standard variable rates. Smart meter and direct debit payment required. Costs vary based on charging conditions and usage. T's and C's apply.
Edmonton's strongest suit is their power play. Lethal power play. Absolutely unstoppable. They're not doing anything. They outscored Vegas 5-2, 5-on-5 last night. What happens when their power play starts to pick it up and they get 1 or 2 a game? It won't even be close. I know Aiden Hill let in a couple beach balls, but Edmonton still is not firing on all cylinders. So I don't know. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid now for the Oilers. They're looking pretty, pretty dangerous, Tim.
And what I like about when McDavid said after the game, he's like, you know, going up 2-0 on the road is awesome, but it means nothing if we can't continue this at home. And you know, it's just like the little comments of just, you know, level setting and not getting too far ahead of your skis. And they've been burned before, and they've, you know, lost series before, obviously. So they're you know, they're mature, and that's a great comment from the leader. But I want to just say one thing before we move on. We have to talk about this no call on Victor Arvidsson.
Yeah,
gives the old can opener to Braden McNabb in the corner. McNabb goes in. He's hurt. It looks like it could be a collarbone or something. Like, it was bad. And that's the stuff that, like, it's a long recovery. So absolutely should have been called. It wasn't. And then, you know, shortly after that, McDavid and Draisaitl get the 2-on-1 and they get the score and the game's over. And it was to the point where Mark Stone skated right over to the referees right after that goal, tapped the stick on the glass where they were, and basically saying, like, hey, this was on you. Like, he was furious. He was livid. He was outside of his mind because the whole building knew it was a penalty. And for whatever reason, it doesn't get called. And even to the point where Bruce Cassidy calls out the ref's name, Gord Dwyer, for looking at it, saying he blew it, quote unquote, which he might get fined for, even if he's correct. Like, the league protects the, because, like, saying the ref's name is something you hardly ever, ever hear, except for in situations like this where it costs the playoff game. So, yeah, it should have been called. And I think Vegas fans have every reason to be upset about it.
Well, especially that 5-minute cross check, which was a 5-minute cross check, but typically you try to even it up if you're the referee. And I know Bruce is fired up, Cassidy. I don't think he had a good view. If you watch the replay, it happens right directly in line with the net. So he's staring, trying to stare through Aiden Hill. And then when they go past the net, McNabb is just barreling into the end boards. So I don't think he saw how he fell. And you're not assuming that someone's going to can opener somebody 4 feet from the boards and put their life at risk. That's a dangerous play. Like, it's a scare. I know Braden McNabb. I played with him in Buffalo. He's a tough son of a gun. He doesn't just stay down for the sake of drawing a penalty. He's hurt. I'd be surprised if we see him. I think you're right. Collarbone, shoulder. It was a go watch it if you haven't seen it yet. It's a scary, scary fall into the boards. And yeah, obviously they turn around and they go down and score. And my good friend, Lil Wayne, who I listen to all the time, I love his stuff. He tweeted out, the Knights just got robbed. What's that, Tim?
You're a big fan of Lil Wayne?
Oh, man. His rap stuff is on fleek. It's very good, very good. But I don't know if the Knights got robbed. They definitely played good. They deserved a better fate. But the Oilers are, gosh, the Oilers are good. They're very, very good. I think Vegas will steal one in Edmonton, and it'll be 3-1. But boy, oh boy, it's like Tim said, when he just popped his head out before even the shoulders had passed through the birth canal. Series doesn't start until you lose at home. And this series has started, babe. It's very, very much started. What did the doctor say, the nurse, when they're like, is he talking about hockey? Is he talking about playoff hockey already? It's so weird.
Yeah, they said, where's John Scott? We gotta connect these two. Get him on the line. Where is he? You're hanging out with Mike Vickers down the street.
Oh, that's so funny. The child genius, that's who you're talking about? He'll be here in a second. He's going to help us deliver. All right, moving on to the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers, a series that has not started, according to Tim. But boy, oh boy, it feels like Toronto has a stranglehold on it. They go up 2-0 on the Florida Panthers. The odds-on favorite, Florida Panthers, to win the Stanley Cup, in my eyes. But jeepers creepers, talking about eating crow for me. I'm eating like a crow, just massive feast in this series, because Toronto's much like Edmonton. They're doing it. They're deep. They're physical. They're dominating this series, Tim. What are you seeing from the Panthers and Leafs?
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about this morning, because every time we make a prediction, obviously we're picking one team over another, and we always get the messages from the fans of the other team that are explaining why I'm wrong, and sometimes why I'm a moron, and I'm overlooking this or that, and I'm getting it from Oilers fans, I'm getting it from Leafs fans, I'm getting it from the Capitals fans, whatever. But I think so far the Leafs fans, I have been wrong on this one. They were big underdogs coming into the series. They take both games in Florida, both very tightly contested games. And it feels like you're seeing a level of compete from the Leafs.
Both games in Toronto. Really,
huh?
Both games in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. In Toronto. You've seen the level of compete from the Leafs that you haven't seen before. Like, they threw 41 hits in game two, blocked 26 shots. Like, this is a team that isn't trying to win 5-6 like you saw in the past. Like, they're playing tightly contested games. And sometimes the score gets up there a little bit because they're good teams. And I think still some questions in that. But it's the way they're responding to things and the way that they're playing physical. It's just, they look really good. And so far, like you said, we've been wrong on this team.
Yeah, and they're close games, but I think we're seeing a different Toronto Maple Leafs team. When Florida pushes back, just like the last game when they went 4-3, Lundell scores that goal, Marner answers right away. You know, in years past, last year and in the previous six, it would get in their head and they would start thinking, oh, you know, we're going to lose. And I know people think that's just a cliche. It's very much true. I've been on teams where you expect bad things to happen and then you spiral downwards. This is a real life thing. And it's different for the Toronto Maple Leafs to have this response and to push back and to have an initial response. Mitch Marner comes out and scores that goal and they go, no, okay, we're fine. We're still up by one. You're excited, Florida? Not going to happen. And Brad Marchand takes a lead in the second period. Initial response from Willie Nylander. No, okay, game tied. We're fine. We're absolutely fine. Yes, it's not Austin Matthews. We would love it if it would be him, but it's other guys. And they're getting contributions from Max Pacioretty and Max Domi and Lorenz and Riley and everybody across the board. It's not the captain who's doing it. It's not Johnny Tavares. It's everybody else, which is really encouraging. And Joseph Woll, he's played good. He's not playing terrific, but he's played really, really good hockey. And much like Calvin Picard, you don't need to steal a game if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender. Just don't lose it for us. That's all you need to do. And I'm going to mention Jack Campbell again. Jack Campbell used to lose games. It's been a constant problem for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And if he can continue to just play solid, it could be a short series. I'm just saying that. I'm not saying Florida's out of it because it's been two highly contested games, one goal games, but Toronto looks like a different team this playoff round. I really think they look really focused, unflappable, and maybe it was bringing in the vets, maybe it's the coach, or maybe it's just these guys learning or the teams that they're playing, but I don't know. The series hasn't started. It's still very much early, but there was a controversial play in this game. Speaking of non-calls, there was an extra call in this play when Scott Laughton hit Evan Rodriguez from behind. And I've never seen this. The guy gets buried from behind and the ref calls him for an embellishment. It was the strangest play. So maybe the refs are leaning towards Toronto a little bit more. They think that'd be nice to get a Toronto win, but it was just a strange call, Tim. Could have been a game-changing power play for the Panthers.
Yeah, it could have. And it's weird because I don't think I've ever seen this before either, where the guy that gets called for embellishment, quote unquote, is hurt so bad that he can't even serve the penalty because he's going down the tunnel to the doctors. You know what I mean? So it's really strange. And these things don't happen in a vacuum, obviously. So I wonder if there was a little bit of that going on in the game with the Panthers and the refs just like, okay, we got to nail him for one, and didn't decided as the hit was happening that he was going to call him for embellishment, you know? So it is too bad and they didn't get a power play out of it. And this is like, you know, it's a tightly contested game that would have probably changed everything, or could have anyway. So yeah, really disappointing. And it sucks. I don't like talking about the refs on these shows. We shouldn't have to, but these are two pretty egregious ones. And now the Panthers are not happy, like you said, but the series has not started yet because the home team has won both games. You're going back to Florida, where Stolarz is not expected to go, by the way. He's not even traveling with the team. So it's Woll's net. And then he looks good. He deserves to have that net right now. But yeah, what do you expect to see when you go down to Florida?
Is Matt Murray the backup?
I think he might be.
That'd be incredible if he got in the net. But I expect Florida to win two games. I really do. I know I've said Toronto, it's their series. They're playing better. I still think it'll be a Dallas-Florida Stanley Cup final. So until Toronto wins the series, I don't entirely trust them until they close it out, because they're still the Leafs at the end of the day. But what they've done in the first two games, very encouraging, very promising. Still the Florida Panthers too.
It is Matt Murray, yeah. I just asked ChatGPT the last time the Toronto Maple Leafs had a 2-0 series lead in the second round or more. It's 1963. So it's been a while. And you have to be excited for them right now.
How do you use that ChatGPT?
You just create an account. You just ask it questions. Like, it's like a conversation. You can ask it anything and it'll just do stuff for you. Do your research for you. It's great.
I think that's a slippery slope. I'm very hesitant to open that door. I didn't even want to get a Ring doorbell on my house. I'm like, that's too much for me. I don't want it. I don't want that kind of technology, let alone someone telling me what to say and what to do. No, thanks. I want to have free will. I want to be able to have, put my thoughts together. I don't like where this is going, Tim.
That's why I'm glad I work for myself now, because all kinds of like CEOs and business leaders are forcing their teams to use ChatGPT to like do work faster and streamline processes and all this stuff. And yeah, it is a slippery slope. I don't love it. I like it for little things like that, because it's hard to Google specific stats like that. But that's about as far as I'll go.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you do that for our agenda? Because I feel like sometimes our agenda is just thrown together. I'm like, Tim didn't even do this. This is
No. I've tried to see it and it can't do it. It can't do what I do, you know? So
no, you're irreplaceable.
By the way, what's your thoughts on the whole 100 man versus the gorilla argument thing? Have you seen this?
I think it's so played out and boring. I don't even want to talk about it. It's just one of those things where it's never going to happen. Like, why are we even talking about this? I don't understand it. And so it's just dumb. I just think it's just, what's the point? It'll never happen. Never happen.
All right. Well, that was a fun conversation. Let's talk about the Dallas.
Yeah. I think the thing that sets humans apart is we have a mind, like we can use our mind. And so I think the humans would win, because it's not just like the 100 people wouldn't just run randomly into a gorilla and just to get mauled, because obviously the gorilla is stronger. It would kill you. The humans would game plan and strategize, throw dirt in the animal's eyes. They would set a trap. They would do things to use their brain. So the humans would win.
Well, unless it's like you're thrown in a random
room with no...
You're in a room. There's no dirt. There's no traps. It's just...
Who makes up these rules? Like, why?
That's the whole question. It's like, oh, yeah, well, if humans have guns, we can kill the gorilla easily. Yeah. It's like, no, you don't get any of that stuff. That's the point. It's hand-to-hand combat. And by the way, wolves hunt in packs and they're using their brains too. Like, they're strategizing, they're using teamwork. We're not the only ones who do that.
No, we're very much smarter than wolves, Tim. I don't see wolves driving around in cars.
We're not alone in using our brains to hunt in packs. This is
why
the conversation
to wolves.
You thought it was boring, straightforward, and it's not. There's nuance.
It's not. It's not very nuanced. It's not anything. It's a completely fantasizing who would win this. It's just even like comparing the Stanley Cup team who won it with the first Stanley Cup versus the Stanley Cup team who wins it now. The team now would dominate because they're more athletic, but they don't have the same advantages back then. It's just a dumb question. I don't know. Let's debate that for the next half an hour. There's nothing that comes from it. Let's talk about the team that I think is going to win the Stanley Cup. Dallas Stars playing the Winnipeg Jets. They're in Winnipeg, and Dallas, they won. It was a very highly contested game, hard fought. Mark Scheifele back for the Winnipeg Jets. Josh Morrissey's still out, which is a huge concern for the Winnipeg Jets. Connor Hellebuck did play in net, and he played well. But when you have Superman, and you have a guy who has just decided to just destroy everybody in the league, and he's not even worried about their families. He's just absolutely destroying everybody in Mikko Rantanen. You can't beat that. He got another hat trick, Tim, in one period, a natural hat trick, because they only scored 3 goals. But like, what can you do to stop this guy? Because I'm watching the game and it's pretty impressive what he's doing.
Back to back hat tricks going back to game 7 too. And what's crazy, this stat is unbelievable. He has factored in each of his team's last 12 goals, which means he's either scored it or assisted on it. It's the longest streak by a player in Stanley Cup playoffs history. The last one before that was Mario Lemieux, which was 9, and that was 33 years ago. So, like, it's crazy what he's doing right now. And does it make you nervous at all that they're relying too much on one guy?
Well, hell yeah. If I'm the Dallas Stars, I'm just a little apprehensive. Yes, it's fun what Mikko Rantanen has done. He's got 15 points, and 12 of them have been in the last 3 games. But where is everybody else? I need to have a more balanced attack. We talk about Toronto. We talk about Edmonton. They can't rely on one guy. We also talk about we need a superstar. We need a little bit of both. We need to have our other guys stepping up. And when you watch the Dallas Stars, it's a little bit unnerving because, like, where are you, Matt Duchene? Where are you, Tyler Seguin and Dadonov and Mason Marchment and on and on, Jamie Benn, on and on and on? They're nowhere to be found, Tim. And it's once Mikko Rantanen cools off, because he cannot keep this pace up. You can't go back-to-back games scoring hat tricks and 4 points in one period and just continue on this whimsical streak that he's on. It's going to cool off. The heater will end. It's like NBA Jam. Heat check. He's on fire. Like, the fire will end. We need Rupe Hintz. We need Wyatt Johnson. We need these guys to do something. So like, I'm not totally worried if I'm the Winnipeg Jets, but you know, at some point those other guys will wake up, and I don't know. Is this a good thing that Rantanen's dominating, or is it a bad thing? I don't know how to figure it out.
It's good now. They won the first round. They're up one game in the second round. But yeah, it's a fair point, because even like Wyatt Johnson, who's scored a couple of huge goals, he's minus 10.
Yeah.
Harley's minus 4. Duchene's minus 7. Ben's minus 5. So you mentioned at the top of the segment that they're still your pick to win it all. You know, despite your concerns, what is it that makes you think they're still the best team in hockey?
Well, because they have that depth, and they have these guys who can show up, and Miro Heiskanen is back. So they have all the pieces Miro Heiskanen will be back. Excuse me. Jason Robertson is back. So they have all the pieces. And then you have Jake Oettinger in the back end, who's absolutely phenomenal. Because when you look at game one, I think Winnipeg played better. I really do. They were more physical. They were on top of the puck. Their penalty kill was terrible, which obviously was a part Dallas's kill, but yeah, I just like the potential that they have. Much like the Edmonton Oilers, where their power play still is garbage and Connor McDavid's not scoring and they're still winning games, you still have all of these stars and they're not scoring and they're not playing that well. And they will start to play well eventually. And you will see Hintzel start scoring and Duchene and Sagan and Robertson and Johnson and Marchment. Once everything starts churning, which it might not, but the potential is there. That's why I think they're going to be the Stanley Cup champions this year.
Just a couple quick notes on the Jets here. Obviously, they came out of a very, very physical and demanding on your body series with the Blues. 7 games, double overtime. Like, it was incredible. But you have to wonder about the miles that it takes. And they showed up physically in game one. You know, they had almost twice as many hits as the Stars, 46 to 24. I think what killed them, among other things, I mean, you have to give Rantanen credit, obviously, but the Jets went 0 for 4 in the power play. If you convert on just one of those, any of those, it's a totally different game. So that's something they'll be looking to do in game two. And you got to think that they know they need to tie this up, because you can't go down to Dallas down 2-0.
No, yeah, it's a death sentence if that happens. So I fully expect them to bounce back, but can they? I don't know. I don't think their defense is strong enough to win. I really don't. When you have Dylan Sandberg and Pionk, and you're playing Hayden Fleury that much, and Dylan DeMello and Colin Miller had to be injected into lineup, and Luke Shen, there's not much there. It's pretty thin on the back end. So without Josh Morrissey, I think they're being exposed. Dallas will continue to win. But isn't it funny to think about both of these teams just kind of lucky got into the second round, you know? And one of these teams will make the Western Conference Finals. It's weird to think the Jets were 1.6 seconds away from being out of the playoffs, and the Stars were one superstar heroic effort by Mikko Rantanen into not being into the second round. And now here we are. Now it's cool how hockey works. I very much enjoy it. All right. You want to do a quick hits, Tim, and get out of here?
I have just one, and it's a funny one. And a couple people sent this to us, because this is like our recurring bit here. But the Sabres have hired Eric Staal. His new title is special assistant to the general manager.
To the regional manager?
All the memes are going up with Dwight, you know, special assistant to the manager. It's a great one. It's a great title. What do you think he's going to be making? What do you think his responsibilities are?
I think he's going to be making 6 figures. Buffalo hands money out like it's going out of style, and I think he'll do absolutely nothing. Like, what does Kevin Adams need a special assistant for? Obviously, they know each other from their time in Carolina. And did Eric play in Buffalo? I think for a short shortly, period. Yeah. He must have. It's such a stupid title.
Hey, Eric, we need some good players. Can you make a little list and come back to me in an hour with some good players on it? That'd be great. Thank you.
But here's my question. Why add the word special? Why is he a special assistant and not just an assistant?
That's a good point.
Like, why? Yeah. Like, what does he do that's so special that the assistant general manager doesn't do? But he's not the assistant general manager. Assistant to the general manager. So an assistant for a general manager typically writes notes and gets them coffee and does the mundane things. So a special assistant does what? Washes the car? Like, does these special tasks that the assistant to the general manager? It just is so dumb, isn't it? It's so funny. I actually reached out to Rob Ray because when I ran into him in Buffalo, he's like, this is my last year about doing games. And Tim and I are, don't tell anybody. We're having some podcasts, you know, deep core talks. If we're going to continue to do it, we'll see how it goes. Obviously, the sponsorships haven't been rolling in like we thought this year. We kind of got screwed over by Nation Network. and we're just like, what are we doing? So all that aside, we're trying to think forward. And so I was like, let's kick the tires on Buffalo. So he was the color guy, and now he's retiring. And I would know, I would do games in Buffalo, still trying to get into Chicago if they'd ever return my calls. But I don't know. Interesting. Buffalo Sabres. They're paying everybody. Why can't they pay me, Tim? I don't get it. Give me some money.
You're definitely a fan favorite there.
I know, it'd be great. I know. Stay tuned. But anything else, Tim, on the agenda?
No, I'm looking forward to the games this weekend. It's possible we see some series wrapping up by the next time that we talk on Tuesday, which is, I hope not. I don't think there's going to be many short series. I think they're all going to go 6 or 7.
So no sweeps on the horizon. Toronto, Dallas, or Edmonton will not sweep.
No. No,
I hope not. We need some long second round series, but that's how it goes. Usually the first round is always incredible. The second round's kind of a dud, and the semifinals and the finals are usually pretty good. But only time will tell. Get out there, everybody. Have some fun. Tim's going to get on ChatGPT, and that's going to tell him how to think. And we will talk to everybody next week. Cheers.
Here we are, another train delay, not a problem for Claire. Phone in hand, ready to play the free Coral Rewards Grabber. Loose wrist, firm grip. Textbook. Oh, look at this. She's won herself 50 Coral Coins for free. Yes. But now, what to spend them on? Free spins or a casino bonus? And, oh, she's gone with free spins. Ooh. Lovely choice, Claire. Cash in Coral Coins for free to choose rewards you actually want. Coral, we're here for it.
18 plus UK. Participate in selected promos to get Coral coins. Coins expire. T's and C's apply. Take time to think.
With Eon Next, enjoy cheaper overnight charging for your electric vehicle and save while you sleep. Switch to our Next Drive tariff today. Then simply plug in for the night and wake up every morning to find your EV charged for less. Switching is a dream too. Find out just how much you could save with our Next Drive tariff at eonnext.com/save. Cheaper rates from 12 a.m. to 7 a.m. compared to our standard variable rates. Smart meter and direct debit payment required. Plus vary based on charging conditions and usage. T's and C's apply.